hope you're ready. I'm going to go a little different. Go to John chapter 3, and I'm going to start off and do something kind of different this morning, but you'll understand as I go. I've enjoyed this Easter season teaching you on what happened. Today is going to be the Mac Daddy. I wanted to do today, last Sunday, the Lord wouldn't let me. So if you weren't here last Sunday, you need to get the whatever, CDD. I don't even know what it's called anymore. The zip, whatever y'all do to get it. But I want to back up here and talk to you about my life a minute. When I got born again, November the 16th, 1975. My encounter with God was as much Paul on the road to Damascus as anything I've ever. I was not prepared for what was going to happen the day I got saved. In my wildest imagination, I never imagined it. I had had several encounters with God up until that time. My mother was praying for me once and I was in the woods and the Spirit of God came on me. I had other situations where I believe that my response to God caused him to know and understand that I was interested. I was just ignorant. And so the day that my mother drugged me to a crusade, and I got healed, and I'm not going to go into detail. I don't want to do that. But standing in the crusade, 5,000 people in this building, and I'm there. I'm a heathen from hell. I'm a hippie, long hair, blue jeans with holes in the knees. I started the fad, but I got over it. Never mind. And I'm in this crusade and I prayed and this power of God hit me. I thought somebody poured hot molasses all over the top of my head. I mean, I'm standing there shaking violently under the anointing of God. And I ran forward, I prayed the sinner's prayer, and I went home. Y'all know the story. I rolled a joint to celebrate being saved. The only thing I knew to celebrate, the only way I knew. And the Lord spoke to me. And he radically changed me. Amen. I went from heathen to saint. Hallelujah. That fast. I mean, I had my last joint, my last beer. I was going to say my last cuss word. That's not true. Last Playboy magazine, November 16, 1975. But I will tell you this, I was so ignorant of the Bible. I was ignorant of everything that happened. I didn't even know what happened to me. I knew I was saved, but even that, I thought I was just a forgiven sinner. I thought, well, he forgave me, and you'd better not mess up. And it scared me to think I might. And I just didn't know anything. And I just began to seek God. I got so hungry to know him. And if I had one all-consuming question. What happened to me? I mean, I was not. I went to church Christmas and Easter. I knew John 3:16, I believed in God. I knew he was there. I knew there was a hell. I knew I was going. And I really wasn't, I didn't know anything about grace. I didn't know anything about a new creation. I didn't know anything about righteousness. I didn't know anything. And so this quest, I would wake up with God on my mind. I'd go to bed with God on my mind. He was always there. And I had some strange things happen. I wrote him in a book. I would have him come in my bedroom. I didn't know that y'all didn't do this. I thought everybody crusade went through what I went through. To come in my bedroom and sit down and tell me a story? Get in my pickup truck and talk to me audibly? I mean, he's just blowing my mind. And the thing that got me the most was how good he was. I knew I don't deserve this. And yet he just always was so good, I didn't know what to do with it. Why are you being so good to me? I don't deserve any of this. But yet he was. I was just messing with you a while ago about my pickup truck. What kind of God comes along and helps you fix up a truck? Does everybody go through that? I mean, I'm just like. So, over a period of, he got me out of the house I was living in, and I moved into a mobile home. And you know what? When you get born again, you can't stay in the mess you're in when you, your the people around you change. It's not that you leave them. They don't want to be around you anymore. You're walking around going, praise the Lord all the time. And they're like, please don't come back to my house. And so over a period of several months, I moved out of there, moved into a mobile home, moved out of a mobile home, moved to an apartment complex. By now, I have gotten to the place to where I know that I'm going to preach the gospel. I've walked with God about a year by now, or maybe not quite a year, but I'm pretty comfortable walking with God. Just all the time. Yeah. All the time. If someone said, do you pray an hour a day? I prayed all the time. Yeah. I mean, I don't mean I prayed. I just walk around talking to God all the time. People thought I was mumbling myself. I said, no, I was talking to God. And he would answer. Yeah. That was even crazy. I got this crazy idea one day. I was listening to Kenneth Copeland by now and Dad Hagen, and I really had become enamored with the fact that God used these men mightily. He gave Hagen faith, a message called faith, and he gave Fred Price prosperity and Kenneth Copeland prosperity, and so I really got kind of on this kick. God, give me a message. I really thought that I was going to be important. Never mind. Some of y'all are so sweet, you're going, you are. Thank you. Hold on a minute. I knew I was leaving Athens. I knew I was going to go somewhere and do something. But I got this crazy idea, and I asked God, I said, give me a message. And because I wanted to be known for something. And so you gave Hagen that faith, give me some. Well, I kind of pestered him for several weeks until one day I'm sitting in my couch reading my Bible, and he said, how would you like it if I gave you the greatest message of all? I went, yeah. That would be cool. And so I grabbed a pencil and paper. I still use pencils. I'm sort of old school. I still use daytimers too. So I'm glad there's no phones in heaven. There's not a phone up there. I don't know whether y'all know that or not. They're not allowed. I'm sitting on the couch, and I said, okay, go. And he said, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, walked the earth as a man, died on the cross, rose from the dead, and sat down at the right hand of God. I hadn't started writing yet. I said, gone. He said, that's it. I said, no. I know that. And then he got real strong. He said, no, you don't. Go learn what this means. And it dawned on me, I didn't have any really idea what it meant. But he birthed inside of me a hunger to understand the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I was listening to a minister on Facebook the other day. And he said, I went and got the Passion of the Christ so I could get in the mood of Easter. Let me make a statement to you. If you watch the Passion of the Christ, you still don't have a clue what happened Easter. You don't even know what happened Easter. I began this quest to understand, and I think God really wanted me to go down this road in my life, and he really wanted me to study this. And I'm 70 now, and I'm still learning. This is the single most important subject on this earth. There is nothing more valuable than the knowledge of what God did in Jesus on the cross. And the church, we are still so ignorant of the greatest story that was ever told. So you're in John 3:16. I'm going to start off by telling you how this began with me. So you understand that just because you're born again, and there's, why do you think we have like 100 million denominations? Because we have 100 million opinions of people who don't know much of nothing. They have a little piece of this truth, and they have a little piece of that truth, and some of them have a little piece of that truth. And what's bad in Christianity is if anyone disagrees with your peace, they're your enemy. You can imagine me sitting around a room with Baptists, Methodists, Episcopalians, and Catholics and telling them what I know. They'd stone me. Because we just can't seem to get along with anybody that differs with our opinion. And none of us know much of nothing. Wouldn't it be fun if we actually started loving each other even though we didn't agree? Try that in marriage. That would stop divorce. So I begin to pray, and I begin to pray the prayers in Ephesians. That the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto me a spirit of wisdom, revelation of the knowledge of him, that the eyes of my understanding would be opened, that I would be enlightened, and I would have the, in other words, you know what I'm talking about. I began to pray those prayers, and I called a lady in Tulsa, and I said, would you pray them for me, and have everybody at Rhema pray it for me? Well, she didn't. She just did it herself. And one day, I'm sitting on the couch in my living room, and I don't know how to explain spiritual things to you, but I looked up from my couch, and coming through the kitchen was a bubble, a cloud, a bubble. And it just rolled in, and I was sitting there watching it, and it kind of rolled in like a wave, and it hit me on the couch. And I was enveloped in this bubble. And had I not had a back behind me, it would have flipped me over the couch. When the power got hit, your body, in other words, about knocked me, it would have knocked me down if it wasn't sitting down. And these words, are y'all ready? That they were the strangest thing I ever heard in my ears in my life. No man goes to hell for sinning. I went, what? And then he said, go to John 3:16. My first revelation of what I had been praying about, what happened to me. Let's read this together. Let's read this together. I want to show you something. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me get over there so I don't mess it up. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn it. The word condemn, oh boy, I wanna teach preachers some words. Condemnation and judgment are not the same word. So quit running around saying God doesn't judge anymore, you dumb thing. He does judge. We have a police officer here. She does not condemn anybody, but she will give you a share revenue coupon. She'll not send you to jail or hell. But you may leave and go, I will not do that again. God does judge people, but he doesn't damn people. Now, she'll damn you if you pull a gun on her. Dang you. Okay. So the word dem, D-E-M, dem, con, dem, con. Word con, English, means with. So just get rid of the word with, and that's confusing you. Because you think condemnation means that someone preached and made you feel bad. That's what you think condemnation is. It's not true. The word condemnation means eternal damnation. Damnation. It's not a cuss word. I know some of y'all are going, he cussed. I told you I still haven't gotten over that. For God did not send his son into the world to damn. Everybody's a sinner. What good would it have done to come down and bring a bunch of condemnation? And everybody was guilty. Everybody he healed was a heathen. You think they earned it? It was all mercy. It was all mercy. Someone said, well, it's been done away with. Mercy hadn't been done away with. He's still merciful. So he came to this earth and he did not bring damnation. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that he came not imputing our trespasses. If he was imputing your trespasses, you wouldn't be born again. He completely, never mind, I'm going to get ahead of myself. He that believes in him is not damned. He that does not believe is damned already. Say already. Every person on this earth right this minute, not born again, you are damned to hell because Satan is. You are under judgment, damnation. Now, I'll prove it to you. Get around a heathen and they walk around going, damn this, damn dog, damn car, damn job, damn. Yeah. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is, your everything in you is coming out. And that's who you are, a heathen. You are Satan's son. Now that'll blow your mind. So I just made a statement. No one goes to hell for sinning. So how can God make a statement, no one goes to hell for sinning? Well, what he showed me was that when Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross, he already died for everybody. So legally, God cannot now send the man to hell for sinning. Now you ought to be going, glory. Because the debt is paid. Now, wait a minute, it's not automatic. Because though your debt is paid, that is a legal truth. But not everyone has agreed with God. Not everyone has agreed with the gospel. Not everybody has come home to God. Not everybody has received Jesus. So you are dead in sin. Don't die dead.
Yeah. Amen.
Your spirit man has weight. Yeah. I mean, it only weighs a few ounces. I mean, it's the skinniest part of you. You say, I need to lose weight. And you're a spirit. You don't need to lose anything. Your body might need to, but you don't need to lose anything. So what happens when a man dies is gravity pulls you out of your body down to the center of the earth because you're dead. You're dead. So how do you quit being dead in sin? Well, someone had to pay your debt, which would be Jesus. I'm going to get into this more, way more. I got plenty of time. Y'all don't get antsy on me. So when he went to the cross and paid your debt, he made a crazy statement. You go preach good news to everyone. I paid your debt. If you've ever said Jesus is Lord, your spirit is alive unto God right now. If you died, you'd go to heaven, even though some of you don't look much like a Christian, act like a Christian, smell like a Christian. You are a Christian. If you came back to church here, we would help you with your walk. Because I don't water down nothing. I don't even like watered down nothing. I don't even know how to water down anything. Anyway, that's up to you. You can do what you want to. You do it anyway. So, verse 19, this is the damnation. Light came in the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Every sinner, they know right. Stop trying to explain to a sinner that they're a sinner. They know they're a sinner. Amen. Running around trying to prove there's a God. They know there's a God. Do you know what an atheist is? It's a person who's hoping that there isn't a God because that would mean there would be no judgment. They already know there's a judgment. They feel it all the time. Why do you think they don't go to church? They don't want to come into the light. I'm going to give you all a revelation. Are y'all ready for it? I'm going to give you a very... If you turn the light on in the kitchen... and there's roaches on the counter. The light does not create the roach. The filthy counter creates the roach. The preaching of the gospel is not creating your crappy life. You had a crappy life when you walked in. All I did was turn the light on and your roaches went, "Wow!" Don't blame me for that. Anyway, never mind. I'm walking better, aren't I? All right, I'm getting all excited. Thank you. I'm going to keep preaching good. Okay. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. Romans 1 will tell you, they know right from every heathen will look at you and go, "You stole." Well, that sounds like the Ten Commandments to me. "You stole my television. Oh, you lied to me. Don't you lie to me. Hey, woman, have you been messing with my buddy Joe? That's adultery. No, I ain't been married to no bad one." How do you know she's bad? "Have you been to church?" "No, you don't have to go to church to know right from wrong. Every heathen in the world knows right from wrong. Because God told you right from wrong." So when someone brings up Jesus, you go, "No, don't condemn me. I don't like those people that have that church." People at the church ain't got nothing to do with you. That's like accusing the hospital. "There's no hospital full of sick people." Well, duh, that's what it's for. What a church is for. Heathen, welcome. We'll fix you. We'll give you an IV, Holy Ghost. Gee. Okay, John 16:9, pop it on the screen. So that day in my house, the Lord says, nobody goes to hell for sinning. If I had said that to my Pentecostal family, they would have killed me because they already told me I was going to hell if I cut the grass on Sunday. Never mind. So Jesus says, the Spirit of God will come and he'll convict the world of sin, Because they smoke dope and drink beer and chase wild women. Of sin, because why? That's the mac daddy sin. God sent Jesus and you went, no. That's a bad sin. That'll get you to hell quick. Because all you had to do was go, okay, I like that. I'll take him. Yeah, babe, I need it. I always wondered why preachers give altar calls and you sit out there trying to figure out whether you want to go to hell or not. You got to be stupid to sit in your chair and fight whether or not you, oh God, I have to give up hell. Oh God. Well, you're dumber than a rock. Someone gives an altar call, you get up right in the front. Well, someone will see me. We know you. You're like us. I had a lady came in here one time and said, you don't want me in your church. I'm a heathen. I went, welcome. We're all, the people in here I love the most are the ones that were the worst. The rest of y'all, I don't even know anything about y'all. Y'all were good. I ain't never met anybody any good yet. Especially me. Imagine God taking me and making a preacher. I wouldn't have made me a preacher. I mean, I have flaws. What are you looking like that? What you? I'm going to help us. Best Easter sermon you ever had in your life. John 16. No, Luke 16. Go to Luke 16. So the next one, I got to have some water. See if y'all can do this. You have to be good and drunk to do this job. Okay. After that day, I really got a revelation of what a Christian is, but I had so much that I would read my Bible and it didn't make sense. There was so much in there. I was reading it with my head. It was just in my head. And so one day the Lord spoke these words to me and I was at Rhema. See, when you go to Bible school, you learn in your head what they know. It doesn't mean you know it. Not revelation necessarily to you. But you're excited to hear all this good stuff. One day I'm praying and I said, God, he said, why don't you use your faith and ask me to show you? And I said, oh, okay. So I prayed a prayer like this. In the name of Jesus, I now, by faith, have revelation of what happened with me. And I used my faith. Well, like 3 days later, or every day when I'm going to Bible school, I made a promise to God. I will spend a certain amount of time every day reading and studying school for Rhema, for school. But one Friday, I got home from school and I said, Lord, I don't really feel like reading my Bible right now. No, don't look at me like that. Y'all super spiritual things you do. But I really, it was sunny outside and people were outside and having cookouts. And so I felt the Lord was saying, go ahead. And so Friday afternoon, I went outside and we had a barbecue and all that. And that was good. Well, the next morning when I told the Lord, I said, I promise you in the morning, I will get up and read my Bible and pray. So at 8:00, I don't know what God thinks 8:00 is on Saturday. That it's not the time to wake up on Saturday. Okay. So at 8:00, the Lord said, wake up. It's time to get in the Word. And I went, no, not eight. Come back later. I really did do this. And I went back to sleep. 10 o'clock. Don't condemn me. It's Saturday. I wake up every morning at the crack of dawn. Saturday is like my day, I thought. 10 o'clock, he wakes me up again and said, get up, sleepy. Time to get in the Word. And I got out of bed and I stood there and I went, I don't want to. Now, if y'all need to understand something, you read your Bible every day, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a day, go to school. Every once in a while, you really just want to be carnal. Yes. And I said, would you help me to want to read my Bible? And what happened next, I'm going to tell you what happened. He came in my house, and I had an audible conversation with God for 4 hours. 4 hours in the presence of God. But it started weird. I'm standing there, and my belly, which was smaller. Watch it, Brianna. Watch it. Watch it, girl. Began to rumble. Began to... kind of like you don't feel good, but I felt good. And all of a sudden, what was in there, I felt it come up like. But it was good. And it came out of my mouth. I felt it hit the back of my teeth, and it was water. It was water. And I'm standing in my room like this. No one was there to see it. And water was gushing out of my belly and filled my whole house with a glory. And I got a hunger for God, stronger than anything I'd ever experienced. And I stood there at the foot of my bed, laughing in the Holy Ghost, drunk in the Spirit, with water gushing out of my belly. And I began to laugh. And I said, that feels like water. That feels like water. And he said, have you ever read what happened to the rich man in hell? I'm going to read it to you in just a second. I said, well, I heard everybody in hell wants ice water. I'd heard that all my life. People in hell would like a glass of ice water. Now, let's read this. Are y'all ready? Did I lose y'all? This is the next revelation. This is probably the single, this time changed everything in me forever. Amen. This time with God. Now, you might think I'm radical. I am. Amen. You spend 4 hours with God, you're not going to be the same. Right. Okay? Now, listen to this. There was a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linens, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at the gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it was the beggar died. It was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now, let me stop for a minute and explain something to you. Abraham's bosom was in hell. No one went to heaven until Jesus rose from the dead. How many of y'all remember reading the story about Jesus saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then you went on down and it said, when he rose from the dead, all the graves in town opened up and people came out. Yeah. And then there's a little thing right under it that said, that didn't happen until he rose from the dead. We're going to get into that before we get out here today. We're going to get into what happened there. But hell, paradise, was down in the region of the damned, because no one was allowed in heaven yet. Not David, not Mo, no one, no one. Nobody died and went to heaven. Not Moses, nobody. Okay. And it was the beggar died and carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried. And being tormented in hell, he lifted his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. So the Lord speaks to me and he says this. Why did the rich man ask for water? And then he said these words to me. He doesn't have a body. It is your flesh that craves H2O. Your body craves water. Your spirit man does not. So he asked me, he said, what did he want? He said, what would you want if you were in hell? Out. Say out. Look spiritual. Have mercy on me, send Lazarus that he dipped the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. So let's talk about what hell is. Hell is the absence of God. Now, what is God? God is love. So there's zero love. There's zero light. There's zero joy. There's zero peace. There's zero. The noise in hell is deafening forever. And hell is only the county jail. Yeah. Hell will one day be thrown in the lake of fire. So everyone in hell right now is waiting for judgment day, and it will get worse. Say, I'm not going. No, you don't know. Why do you think? If you're here today, you ain't going. Because you're going to leave smarter than this. So he says to me, why did he want water? I said, what would you want? I said, you know. So he's a spirit. But he feels everything. Now, he's in a place where there is zero God. You die without him. You don't take 1% God with you. Nobody in hell, everyone in hell is an evangelist. And they're all believers. So he asked me this question, because I'm standing there in my bedroom, this water is coming out of my belly, and he took me to Jesus in John 4. I'm going to take you over there, and I'm going to show you something. Please, just go over to John 4 with me. Bear with me a minute. I'm not trying to bore you. In the name of Jesus. John 4, the woman. He comes up to a woman in Samaria and he's talking to her and he says, you know, something about would you get, you know, I would like some water. And she gets into a religious debate with him. Like you're too good to give him a cup of water. And verse 10 says, he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that's talking to you, give me a drink. You would have asked me and I would have given you what? Living water. What did the guy in hell want? What he called living water, Zoe, life. Water is eternal life. What did he want on his tongue? What did he want on his tongue? One drop of Zoe life. He would have come out of hell like a rubber ball off the bottom of the ocean. One drop of life. Give me a drop of life. Let me finish reading this. Verse 14. Whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never thirst. The water I will give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. What the whole Bible is about. Listen. There is nothing you've ever learned in your life. I don't care if you got 8 years of higher learning. If you don't know about eternal life, you're dumber than a rock. We are seeking to understand all the wrong stuff. If you don't understand, when Jesus went into the so he asked me this question. He said, what do you think happened when Jesus? Now, you understand that when Jesus died on the cross, I'm going to get way ahead of myself, but let's just help me now. When he went to the cross, you understand that he is God incarnate. He can't die. Just like Adam. If Adam hadn't sinned, he'd still be walking the earth. If Jesus hadn't gone to the cross, he'd be walking the earth right now. He was immortal. In order for him to die on the cross, he had to die spiritually. Jesus, now see, if you say this outside of this church, they'll call you a nut because God can't sin. Well, God can't be tempted either, but Jesus was tempted because he gave up deity. He left all deity behind. He didn't walk the earth in deity. He didn't heal anybody because of deity. And when he went to the cross, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, him who knew no sin, Jesus who knew no sin, became sin. He didn't take your sin. He became it. That is the reason why on the cross he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why'd you? That's the cry of a lost man. He's lost. He took your place. And he had to. You, physical death wasn't your problem. Spiritual death was your problem. God told Adam, in the day you'd eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. The Hebrew word surely is the word die. It says dying, you'll die. They didn't know what to do with that. So they just said, well, you'll kind of like you'll really die. I mean, you dead? You're really going to be dead. No. What he told Adam is the day you eat, you will die spiritually. And then 1,000 years later, your body will catch up and it'll kill you. The problem with us is that according to the book of Ephesians, you were dead in sin. Honey, it wasn't your marijuana that was your problem. You were the devil. Some of you, I went to the devil. You still are. Oh, you're ignorant. Amen. So Jesus had to become sin. Yeah. Now go to Jonah. Bear with me, please. I'm going someplace. I promise you, before you get out of here, you're going to be going, amen. I hate to preach to people who don't respond. Just do something. Just wiggle or something, dear God. Anyway, Jonah. Jesus said, they came to Jesus and said, we would like to have a sign. Like walking on the water and raising the dead and feeding people. Not enough signs. Never mind, I'm being smart. Everybody wants a sign. They give you a sign. Never mind. Where is Jonah? Where are you, Jonah? There are you, Jonah. All right, no. That day that I'm in the house with God, he took me to Jonah. Now, y'all know, how long do you think you can last in a turbulent ocean without drowning? Well, get over this idea that Jonah was alive. He was not. He drowned. Never mind. See, some of y'all still got that movie where Jonah's in the well with a candle stuck in your head. Veggie Tales. Okay. Jonah chapter 2. And then Jonah prayed to the Lord. Okay, verse 17, chapter 1, 17. And the Lord prepared a great fish, a Jewfish. That's supposed to be funny. I'm going to get a big thing on the screen that says laugh. A And the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and the Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And Jonah prayed to the Lord God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol, that's hell, I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me to the deep. In the heart of the seas, the flood surrounded me. Your billows and your waves passed over me. And I said, I have been cast out of your sight. I will again look toward your holy temple. The water surrounded me, even my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went to the mooring of what? How many mountains are in fish? Say none. Thank you. And the bars, how many bars are in fish? Close behind me forever, for you brought my life out of the what? Listen to me. Jonah went to hell. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ went to hell for 3 days and three nights. Go to Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Come on. There's somebody's going, I'm enjoying this. I mean, you have to get this by revelation because this is too many scriptures for him to teach me anything. I mean, I'm just like, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Listen, Romans 4. Who was delivered because of our offense? He went in there, he went there for you. And was raised because of justification. The Greek said raised when you were made righteous. God did not raise Jesus from the dead until your debt was paid. The resurrection is proof. You've been accepted. And you have no debt. Now, here's the Mac Daddy. Are y'all ready? In the book of Romans, it says, in the same spirit, when God said, it's enough, the Spirit of God left heaven, went down in the region of the damned. Are y'all ready? Jesus was born again. Just like you. The head of the church is a born again man. I'm not diminishing what happened to him. I'm telling you what happened to you. If hell can't hold him, hell can't hold you. As he is, so am I in this earth. I'm going to read another scripture to you. How am I doing? I hate the clocks. I hate clocks. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm not going to. Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I'm now living, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't set aside the grace of God. If righteousness came through the law, Christ died in vain. Listen, as far as God is concerned, Zach has been to the cross, died on the cross, rose from the dead, and he's alive forevermore. And as Jesus is, Zach and Jesus are the exact same person because his resurrection was Zach's resurrection. His death was your death. His resurrection, that's you. That's you. Easter is about you rising from the dead, and you'll never die, and you'll never die, and you'll never die. Oh, glory to God. Now, you can imagine being in my house when all this is happening in my house, and God is showing me all this. I'm having like a private Holy Ghost fit. Y'all, isn't this good? I left Rhema with one desire. find every heathen I could find. If you're a sinner, give me 10 minutes and I could help you. And I mean, I've looked at more people than you've ever dreamed. Please let me tell you a story. I mean, please, I got 4 minutes. I'm in Russia. And I'm in a conference where there's American preachers. It makes me wonder about American preachers. And the conference begins Sunday. Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night. Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Monday night. Every preacher got up and preached. There's 500 people. Most of them are not saved. Every preacher, between 4 and 8 people, came forward to get born again. Every preacher got up and preached something. And then the Thursday night preacher didn't come from America. And because I was there with Kevin, which was the crusade director for Teal, they thought I was important. I am. And I got up and preached to them what I just preached to you. And I looked at 500 people and I said, anybody out there would like a drop of eternal life on your tongue? Get up and come down. 500 people ran to the altar. Then some preacher said, who is he? And I heard him say it. And I walked by and I said, you asked the wrong question. Who I am is not the issue. You should have said, what did he say?
What did he say? Amen.
The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for anyone who believes it. If you're in here right now, I want you to say this. I believe he died on that cross. He rose from the dead. And I am, and he is Lord. Amen. If you weren't saved, you are right now. I got a confession to make, and I'm not even Catholic. I hated coming home to this church. I hated it. Because every Sunday you guys can't figure out whether you even want to go to church or not. You go overseas where people walk 3 days just to hear something good. I'm in Russia. 500 people started, while I'm preaching, started talking in tongues. Everybody in the building got born again while I'm preaching. The gospel's powerful. And the Lord said, go home and build a base. I started a Bible school so you would know what I just said.
Amen.
And you ought to get in it.
Amen.
If this doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. I'm just going to explain to you. There's in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Don't go there. The Bible calls Jesus the firstborn. The church did not begin Pentecost. Every denomination just so dumb. Pentecost not the first day of the church. First day of the church when the first man was born again, Jesus. Then after he was born again, he grabbed his body. He just kind of, the Spirit of God hit him and he blew out of hell like a rubber ball off the bottom of the ocean, grabbed his body and went up to John and went, hey, I died for you. Here, prayers are praying. And he breathed and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Thomas said, I won't believe unless I see him. He goes, you nut, listen to me. Thomas got saved. Everybody got saved. So what is Pentecost? You have to come back another Sunday. Because even Tanya needs a car and a gun.
You want to go out there? You ain't got no gun. What kind of police? You got a badge on the side of the road. Slow down. Really? You think they're paying any? You're going too fast. We got a bunch of Christians, no power. Don't have a drop of power. Get saved. Come to Jesus. You need Jesus. You do too. Oh, Jesus, help me. It's 12:01 and I'm done. A lot more happened in my house that day. The Lord told me about Joshua and the sun standing still. And he took me through the whole story of what happened to Jesus and how he was born again down in hell and raised from the dead. He was raised. His spirit man came alive. Isaiah said, he bore the iniquity of us all. He bore your iniquity. You don't have any. You don't have any, Brianna. You don't have any. He don't even know you ever did anything wrong. Shh, don't tell him. Be quiet. This is Easter. This is what Easter's about. I looked forward. I prayed yesterday. I cannot tell you how many hours I was home just praying over y'all today. I know most of you were born again, but let me tell you something. This should change your life. Everything else outside of this is just worthless information. If you don't know this, you have no foundation for faith. As he is, so are you. The same spirit that brought him out of hell is inside of you to bring you out of all the hell you'll ever go through on this earth. God's good. He is your righteousness. He is your righteousness. Nothing's impossible to you. You have to get out of your carnal thinking for a while and start being a little bit more spiritual. Because if the Spirit brought him out of hell, think about what's inside. Greater is he that's in you. You even know what you said? Do you have any idea what you just said? The same Spirit that got him out of hell is inside me. Cut him loose, baby. Yeah. Turn him loose.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Come on.
Are y'all ready to pray? Father, I've had so much joy this morning standing here in this church teaching them what you've taught me. I really wish every Sunday was Easter. I'd preach this every Sunday morning. I know there's people here that may not be where they need to be, but I believe they meant what they said while ago when they prayed. If they didn't, I pray they do on the way home. I pray they have enough sense to just confess what happened on the cross and just be saved. If they're in here this morning and they've been going through trouble, I pray that they would begin to understand that they're not waiting on you. They're not waiting on you. You've given them everything they need to live victoriously on this earth. They are sons and daughters of God. Now look at me right now. I want to read something to you. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he stepped from the tomb, absolute master of death and all of its phases, hell and all of its host, Satan and all of his works, sin and all of his consequences. He is the first of a redeemed, restored, victorious humanity that would follow. Say me. He's the firstborn from the dead, the first man to enter the death experience and master it. God made you a master of death, hell, and the grave. There's only one thing that scares Satan, is you knowing what I just preached to you. He don't mind you being saved. Just do kumbaya every Sunday and go home. He don't give a rip. I'm going to use Tanya again. Please, Tanya, don't get mad. I'm glad we have policemen. I don't want to live in a town where people do what they want to. You are here to enforce Satan's defeat. That's your job. When you see something out of order, you need to welcome and go, I bind you, Satan, in Jesus' name. You're looking at a resurrected man of God. I said, stop it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. Amen. Let your kids go to hell. Don't let sickness stay in your body. Let the devil run rampant over you. Get him out of your head. Get him out of your get him out. What I just preached, I am the way I am today because of that day with God. I have never in my life been able to get away from this. I wake up every day and I think about people like you and I go, does he know? Does he know who he is? Do you know who you are? You're the righteousness of God. Do you know? I remember, if you don't mind me using Amber again, my day that I met, the day I met Amber, she explained to me how bad she was. I said, no, you're not. She said, I most certainly am. I said, no, you just don't know who you are. God believes in you and what he did. When he made you, you're his best. He finished the work and he sat down. Now, I can't have time with it. Then he took his blood in the Holy Holy so you could go in anytime you want to. And then he sat down because he finished all of his work. And then he told you, go into all the world. Cast out devils, raise the dead, heal the sick. Don't put up with no devil messes. I'm done.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Word of Life Church. We just wanted to let you know there's a lot more content on our website at wolapopka.com. From our YouTube channel, to our podcast, to our SoundCloud, and many more events. We also wanted to let you know that we love giving you these messages. And it helps us too that if you would love to give to the what we're doing, it helps keep all these messages free. You can just simply go to our website and click the big Give Now button. Or you can text 407-955-5345. And remember, our pastor's vision is this: we grow Christians. So we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.